Good morning and welcome to HealthWorks. This is Carol Kinnear, Community Health Manager for Way Memorial Hospital. I want to thank you for joining me this morning and Happy New Year. This is the last show of 2023. Yay! And my guest is cheering, although you cannot see him. On today's show, I have Dr. Keith Cordici. Good morning, Dr. Cordici.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you today?
Great. Thanks.
And I'm so happy that you can join me. Of course, we're not right in the radio station. We did pre-record the show because everyone probably has the day off and is ready to celebrate. I understand that one of your specialties is sports medicine. Let me step back a little bit. You are an orthopedic doctor/surgeon, correct?
That is correct.
And one of your specialties is sports medicine.
That is correct.
Okay. Can you share with our listeners a little bit about yourself and your specialty?
Sure. So myself, I did a general orthopedic residency, and thereafter I did a fellowship in sports medicine and arthroscopy at the University of Massachusetts Medical Center. And so as far as what I have a primary focus on, that would be sports medicine, which is really the diagnosis, treatment, prevention of injuries related to sports and exercise. But I also have a focus on the shoulder and the knee in my practice as well.
Right. So, I know one thing that you do like to treat or have very good skills in is rotator cuff injuries. Can you tell us a little bit more about them? Because we need our shoulders, correct?
We certainly do, yeah. I think before you even get into the treatment, it's important to understand first, what is the rotator cuff? Because you hear that word thrown around so much. And it's important to understand its role in the function of the shoulder. So first and foremost, the rotator cuff is a four-tendon complex, and it's involved in something called the compression concavity mechanism, which basically allows to keep your ball centered in your socket. So the humeral head is centered within the glenoid. It aids in mobility of the glenohumeral joint, which is your ball and socket joint, by facilitating motion of that joint, combining various motions, whether they be abduction, which is movement of your shoulder out to the side, or rotational maneuvers such as external or internal rotation. As far as injuries, there are two types of rotator cuff tears. There's traumatic, where you fall and go boom, and you injure your shoulder, and then you have pain. And then there's also tears that just over time you see, which are more degenerative. I would say quite commonly I do see degenerative tears. And as we get older, the frequency of a rotator cuff tear increases. So if we go just to someone who's in their 40s, where maybe the prevalence is 6.8%, by the time you get into your 70s or even 80s, you're approaching 50% as far as prevalence. So that really speaks to more of an intrinsic degenerative process as far as a tear of the rotator cuff.
Yeah, and that's kind of scary because I'm getting up there in age and we use our arms and our shoulders for almost everything we do, correct?
That is correct.
So, to understand how that works and, how complex it could really be, it's great to understand that. So when you talk about rotator cuff injury, is there a standard treatment or plan for those individuals?
I wouldn't say a standard treatment. I think you have to individualize the plan. Mm-hmm. So it depends. So if you have an older person who presents and they say, well, I've had pain for the past 3 to 6 months, but there was never any injury that was involved, and you take them through a focused exam, then the bells and whistles start going off in my head. They say maybe this is more of a degenerative tear that they have. You can usually hold off in an MRI at that point, and you'll try non-operative things, maybe like physical therapy first, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory medications like Aleve, Advil, ibuprofen, unless the patient can't have them for various reasons, stomach ulcers, kidney disease, heart disease. Mm-hmm. And then also, my go-to is a subacromial corticosteroid injection. And cortisone or steroid, however you want to phrase it, is very effective as far as calming down inflammation in the area that's involved. And people sometimes get excellent sustained relief from that. Now, if you're looking at a younger individual who, like I said, they fell and they went boom and then they can't lift their arm, I usually will go to an MRI at that point right away to see, because their exam will be so convincing and they have a history of trauma. And then if the MRI comes back positive, well, if you're looking at a younger individual and you say, well, they really have excellent biological potential to heal or repair, this is someone that you'll usually offer a repair. Back to my older individuals, if they, quote unquote, fail non-operative treatment, then we will discuss, you know, the treatment strategies. And it's not necessarily a repair. It depends on what else is going on, whether the shoulder is arthritic or things along those lines.
Which is good to know. And I'm glad you're explaining that to our listeners, because it's not just they come and see you, they talk with you. You give them a script or whatever, and it's one and done. You continue to follow them until, you know, and you look for the best treatment and the best outcome for those individuals, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and my assistant laughs every time I say this because I'm like a broken record, but I have this saying, I don't treat an MRI or an X-ray, I treat you.
Right.
So there are some people walking around that might have the worst looking MRI, but they're like, look, I have no pain and their motion is excellent. And I say, well, more power to you. You know, we'll just roll with that and follow you. The other thing that speaks to that is if you were to just line up 100 people in their 70s or 80s and just MRI them, just so to speak, just for the sake of it, you would probably find that 50% of those people have full thickness rotator cuff tears and don't even know it.
Huh.
So
is it something that maybe people adjust to or get used to? Or again, I know it's individual that you mentioned, right?
Some of them just are flat out not symptomatic. Others maybe had an injury at one point in time and then have just compensated over time. And they use all the musculature around that area, the periscapular muscles, the muscles around your wing blade, so to speak, to help compensate. And yes, some people, so to speak, can become accustomed to it.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, when we speak about the rotator cuff overall, like, do you have any recommendations or guidelines maybe how to prevent that from happening? I know you said, you know, it's it could be based on age and we can't stop aging, but what are other things that people can do?
As far as the degenerative process and aging, I always kind of liken that to the fact that it's almost like the blood supply to the rotator cuff is tenuous at best. So I tell people that over time, it's almost like you get a heart attack to your rotator cuff. Mm. You know, the blood supply is only so good. And then the tendon intrinsically degenerates. You can't really stop that. However, what are certain things that would accelerate this or put you at a greater risk or make you more predisposed? Smoking. Of course, because it vasoconstricts, it narrows the blood vessels. So if you already got an area that has compromised blood supply, and then you do that on top of it, it's always good to think of preventative things such as preventative exercises. You always laugh. You go to the gym, you always see guys lifting 200-pound weights, and they're, you know, sculpting these giant muscles. But you never see the guy in the corner who's got these little TheraBands just moving his arm back and forth. It's very good to work on the rotator cuff and do that as far as a conditioning program, as far as a home exercise program, and that could keep you out of trouble down the line. And of course, there's always that be cautious about where you're walking and don't fall and throw your arm over your head too as well. So
yes, which are all, you know, things that we do need to kind of take a look at every single day in what we do. But, you know, we talk a lot about the rotator cuff, but are there other injuries that you also treat?
Absolutely. And it's just a natural extension of my fellowship in sports medicine and arthroscopy. I do a lot of knee surgery, too. A lot of ligament tears in the knee, the ACL, the anterior cruciate ligament tear. So I see athletes for that as well. And various ligament injuries, meniscal tears, which are the cartilage cushions, the shock absorbers in your knee, so to speak. I also do knee replacement or arthroplasty for arthritis, and I also do shoulder replacement for osteoarthritis. And then I also treat a variety of fractures. We see every time we're on call, we see a variety of things, ankle fractures, hip fractures, wrist fractures. These are all part of my general orthopedic training too.
Right. And again, you know, when we talked about individual treatment, all of those things that you talked about, the other injuries that you treat, are all individualized, correct?
Mm-hmm. That is correct. You always have to consider multiple factors. I mean, there's the personality of the fracture, let's say. They say, yeah, you know, the textbook will say, yeah, this is what you have to do. But there's always a social component. Mm-hmm. You have to consider the person. And what are their other medical comorbidities, too? I mean, this may be a person that, let's say, they have a wrist fracture that I would typically operate on, but they just had a stroke, unfortunately, or something. They're on blood thinners. That's not someone that you want to put under anesthesia that leave them susceptible. So maybe you have to kind of individualize that, so to speak, and maybe treat it non-operatively with the thought, if it doesn't work out, then we can always do surgery down the line.
Right. And then, you know, again, surgery may be needed in some cases, but maybe somewhere down the line. But you also recommend physical therapy and therapies like that for individuals as well, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. And it depends on the surgery, too. I know that I'm pretty standard when it comes to fix a wrist. Typically those individuals do get a little stiff after the bone has healed, and I notoriously common for me to send them to an occupational hand therapist for them to really maximize their rehab potential with the hand and wrist. Definitely anytime I operate on a shoulder, I will initially have the patient do a semblance of a home exercise program because I have so many restrictions on them. And then usually after about 4 or 5 weeks of them doing limited exercises that I show them, my catchphrase is, now we've allowed the dust to settle. Then I'll send them to the physical therapist to maximize their rehab potential.
Yeah, I know a couple of people, friends of mine, that mm-hmm. had their shoulders done. And it was a long process. Mm-hmm. But again, I think, you know, that the surgery and the healing process and then the therapies after that was really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of back to their everyday routine.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really amazing. So, you know, I've heard you mm-hmm. say you've done a lot of surgeries. What is the longest surgery that you ever did?
One that comes to mind actually is a lady, very wonderful lady. I want to say maybe it was back in 2008. She was in a pedestrian struck by a motor vehicle, but she was in some type of motor vehicle accident. She was near the Philly area and she had polytrauma, like multiple extremities, different body parts involved. I think she had pelvic trauma that required plating. She had a tibial fracture, which is your leg bone, your main leg bone. And she had a long fracture there, and she had a very long plate that extended all the way from near the knee joint distally down towards the ankle. Over time, unfortunately, she developed some post-traumatic arthritis in the knee. We tried non-operative stuff first, cortisone injections, gel injections, therapy, things like that, but became too much. So it was like a 2-for-1 surgery. We had to take out the plate, which that's fun. There's a saying in orthopedics, you can never look good taking out hardware,
mm-hmm.
especially when it's been in there. But that actually went very well. And then we converted her in the same setting to a total knee replacement. And thankfully, she did quite well mm-hmm. after. And a lot of it, I really have been doing this 17 years now. And I see that attitude makes such a difference. She always had a positive attitude. I really think some people, they just, when they have such a positive attitude, they can work through pain, they can work through a variety of things. So,
which is, it is truly amazing what individuals can go through and how successful they can be just by, you know, thinking positive and having that, you know, the positive outcome, which is good. And what I'm also hearing from you is, again, like, you never give up on mm-hmm. that patient, you know, even if something has been done and may need a follow-up even years from now, that's mm-hmm. something you can look at. That's something you can see that patient for, correct?
Absolutely. And my typical, like if I do a rotator cuff repair arthroscopically, I'll typically follow those people at least to 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not seeing them every 2 weeks. As I said, I'll see them very quickly after the surgery to take out their sutures. And then maybe 4 or 5 weeks later, after they've done a home program, then they'll go to therapy. I'll see them about 2.5 months after that at the 3-month mark. And then I usually follow them to 6 months. But if they need to have longer follow-up, then so be it. Mm-hmm. My total knee replacements, total shoulders, I'll usually follow to about a year.
Right.
And things like, but yeah, they're always, if heaven forbid there's an issue down the line, they're always welcome to come back, of
right.
course.
Right, yeah. And not even just issues and stuff like that, but, you know, like you said, maybe scar tissue builds up and they yeah. need, you know, further intervention for whatever reason. That could mm-hmm. be years down the line.
Mm-hmm.
But, so we talked about a lot of injuries today. What is your best, or what's your best advice on how to prevent some of these?
So I think we alluded to some of this earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these are modifiable risk factors. We say, like, smoking. How many times? And that's like beating a dead horse, right? We mm-hmm. say, don't smoke. I think maintaining bone health, particularly for postmenopausal women, they lose the protective effect of estrogen to maintain calcium in the bloodstream, and then that can leave them susceptible to pathologic or insufficiency fractures. You hear about that all the time. So there's where they want to be on a balanced diet, calcium, vitamin D, things like that. They want to get in, collaborate with their primary care physician to do these things, and every once in a while have what's called a DEXA scan, which can really measure your bone density to keep you out of trouble. And of course, a balanced diet.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And I think that I see that more and more, strength exercise, especially I'll say in women in my age, mm-hmm. where it's so important for everything.
As we get older, we lose muscle mass. Mm-hmm. So it's crucial that
right.
you have to do at least some type of light resistance activity.
Exactly. Yes. And it doesn't have to be that 250-pound weight.
No, okay. No, then I will be seeing you for a torn rotator cuff. Right.
Okay. We're about 30 seconds left. We'll give you a little bit more. But they can come and see you, right? So you have appointments Monday through Friday, usually? Or give or
Wednesday
take?
Is typically my elective operative day.
Okay.
But yes, otherwise, yes, they just call the office. Yep.
Do you have that number that you can give us?
That is 570-647 770-0157-0047-0001, Honesdale Orthopedic Surgery.
Right, and you're located on 191, right?
Route 191, yeah, 3202 Lake Ariel Highway.
Perfect, you know your address.
It took me a while, right.
Well, Dr. Cordishi, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. It was really a great informative show, and we do want to prevent injuries. But if someone does get hurt, you're here for them, correct?
Absolutely.
Any last words?
Happy New Year.
Oh, yes. And enjoy yourself, right? Be careful.
Yes.
We're here for you. Again, thank you for joining us. This is Carol Kinnear. We do wish you a happy and healthy New Year. Thank you for listening.